Performance USA. The greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the men and women in the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week till you're home from the hospitals and back from over there. Hi, guys and gals. This is Howard Petrie, pacing up the posters for another three-ring circus known as Command Performance. It's another carnival of the stuff asked for in those letters, care of Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. And ringmaster tonight is the gal who wowed him on Broadway in such hits as Oklahoma, and who's wowing him these days in such fine pictures as Gentleman's Agreement, the one and only Celeste Holmes.
And parted. You don't know I knocked on wood, sadly brokenhearted. Worrying so, I sleep all night, appetite and health restored. You don't know how much I'm bored. Sleepless night, the daily fight, the quick toboggan when you reach the height. I miss the kisses and I miss the bite. I wish I were in love again. The broken day, the endless wait, the lovely loving and the hateful hate, the conversation with the flying plate. I wish I were in love again. No more pain, no more strain. Now I'm sane, but I would rather be got the pulled out fur, a cat and turd, the fine mismating of a him and her. I've learned my lesson, but I wish I were in love again. The furtive sigh, the blackened eye, the words I love you till the day I die, the self-deception that believes the lie. I wish I were in love again. When love can yield, it soon reveals the faint aroma of performing seals, the double talking of a pair of heels. I wish I were in love again. No more care, no despair.
Celeste, the gang will certainly want more of that.
Well, that was popular music. Perhaps now we should have a touch of the classics.
Oh, wonderful, Celeste. Oh, I'll play my big bass drum.
No, Howard. Gang.
I want to play my big bass drum. I just gotta pound my drum. Come on.
No, Howard.
If you don't let me play my drum, I'll just kill myself. I really will. I'll kill myself.
Howard, why are you so anxious to play your old drum?
No, I don't know. I get such a big bang out of it.
Brother.
Celeste.
Yes, Howard?
Well, there comes a time in every show when one tires of the passing fall-draw, when one hungers for a taste of the finer things, of culture, of uplifting lectures.
True, Professor. Luckily, we have present a man who can satisfy that yearning.
Oh, good.
It's that lovable, generous guy who told his girl that she got into his hair, so she clipped him. It's Gary, Command Performance Moore.
Oh, great, great.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Celeste, thanks for that wonderful introduction.
Not at all.
You are, as the French would say, mal de tout, un contre-champ de la derrière, un vôtre de la chambre.
Gary?
Eh?
Is that good?
Must be good. I got it off the wall in the French locker room. Enough. My little Stradivarius, and I call you Stradivarius because I would love to fiddle around. You can call me Morris. I'm a guy with plans. Celeste, I arrived bearing a brand new lecture.
Oh, I just knew you would, Gary. You're a lecherous old soul.
Well, bless your little landslide.
What is it?
Anyhow, I'll tell you, Celeste, I have given a lot of educational talks in the past on this program. I remember I gave a special lecture for old maids first visiting Hollywood entitled, How to Keep from Being Accosted on the Street and Which Streets to Go on to Make Sure You'll Be.
I remember that. It was stinking with culture. Jerry! Oh.
Let's keep those phrases closer together, shall we?
What made you start giving lectures?
Well, first of all, Celeste, my parents taught me to be keenly interested in other people's affairs, to hunger for an insight into the private lives of others.
And where did you learn the most? As you gained the threshold of a Ph.D.?
No, as I climbed the transom of a YWCA. Oh, Mother, bring me my sleeve garters. I'm snapping them tonight. But after that, soon, Celeste, the news of... Abbott and Costello are going to hate us for this. But soon, Celeste, the news of my education spread. People started coming to me for advice.
Mr. Moore, I have a problem. Last night, my boyfriend took me off in his car, and we drove into the country and parked on a dark road. Tell me, did I do wrong?
Probably. And... very high-class material. To come to a clean line, somebody yell bingo, will you? And today, ladies and gentlemen, that girl that we just talked to is the kind of woman you take home to your father. And then your mother throws all three of you out.
All right. So you started by just settling problems.
Yeah, I thought it was fun telling people what to do. You take the day Uncle Smedley had that big fight with my Aunt Lolly Lesnor's morphle. Don't laugh at your relatives. Though he had a terrible fight, my Uncle Smedley, my Aunt Lolly did. You see, he wanted to buy curtains for the house, and she insisted on a new rug. Well, I got sick of hearing him insisting on curtains, and I tossed him out into the street, where he was hit by a large beer truck, thereby winning the argument.
Jerry, he won?
Yep. It was curtains for Uncle Smedley. There's a clean line. Now, let's go back to the other stuff. But then, Celeste, then I decided to tell people facts and let them solve their own problems.
So you started giving lectures.
Yes, my first lecture was on manners.
Ah, Mr. Moore, your lecture certainly taught me how to act around my mother-in-law. Before I heard your talk, I didn't know whether to walk on her left side or her right side.
And now you know?
Yeah, I walk on her stupid face.
And thank you, Andrew Sitchin.
Say, Gary, you have given 1,000 superlative, scrumptious lectures.
True, Howard, but tonight I am giving one that tops them all, entitled, How to Be a Radio Comedian, or Who Was That Flute Player I Seen You With Last Night? That was no flute player, that was my fight. Could happen to anybody. Any questions, Howard?
Yes, there are. Gary, what does a person need to be a comedian?
What does a person need?
Well, first of all, he needs plenty of time to stand on the corner of Hollywood and Vine.
Why Hollywood and Vine?
I don't know. All comedians stand there. You see, that's so they can say, you know, folks, a funny thing happened to me today. I was standing on the corner of Hollywood and Vine. I was standing on the corner of Hollywood and Vine when a girl came up to me and started staring at me. Well, she must have thought she knew me because she finally said, Are you Harry? And I said, Oh, just a little, around the chest. You've got to stand on the corner.
I see. And something funny always happens there.
To everyone but me. 3 days last week, I stood on the corner of Hollywood and Vine, and nothing happened until a blonde walked by.
And then what happened?
My case comes up in the morning. But even more important, Celestia, every comedian has got to have... And you don't mind if I call you Celestia?
Oh, not at all, not at all. It's in the script. I understood
one. You may call me Garrison. Oh? That's my real name, Garrison.
Yes, the more the merrier.
Oh, no! You made a joke. Let's go back to this. But even more important, Celestia, every... You don't mind if I call you Celestia, do we? Oh, no, get back to this stuff. All right. Even more important, Celestia, every comedian has got to have an uncle.
I don't get it.
Well, you've got to have an uncle so that when somebody says to you, I work on a dairy farm, you can say, well, I had an uncle who worked on a dairy farm once, but he got fired for making the cows lie... Don't tell me anything about milking cows. I'm an old cow milker from way back. That's where you milk cows from, way back. Oh, no!
Fired.
Well, you got to have an uncle, so when somebody says to you, I work on a dairy farm, you can say, well, I had an uncle who worked on a dairy farm once,
mm-hmm.
but he got fired for making the cows lie on their backs while he milked them.
Why did he milk the cows upside down?
He was from Oklahoma, and he was mighty homesick to see a gusher.
Well, now, as I understand it, Gary, in other words, all you need to be a comedian is a funny street, a funny corner, and a crazy relative, huh?
Well, yes, yes. That and a telephone.
I don't understand.
Well, anytime you're on the air and you're stuck for a joke, the telephone rings, and you first thing you... Oh, excuse me. There's my telephone now. Hello? Oh, hello, Charlie. Huh? You say tomorrow's your girl's birthday and you don't know what to get her for a present? Well, I'll tell you, Charlie, some girls like pink ones and some girls like white ones and... Then there's the type of girl who prefers black ones. But I'd play safe. Get her a box of assorted jelly beans. So you see, there's nothing to this comedian racket. I've got a telephone. Sounds like it. I've got a telephone. Now, if I just had one more thing, I could be a success.
And what's that?
I need a great big sound effect to get off with.
Would you clarify that a little?
All right. Well, let's say we're doing a sketch about the Wild and Woolly West. I'm playing the part of Cactus Head Moore. A rootin', tootin', hootin', shootin', highfalutin', Fig Newton. I walks into a cowtown saloon and the piano is a player. And I say, hey, piano player. Cut out that darn melody maker. Listen, you, when I say stop playing, I mean stop.
Oh, Professor Moore, you killed the piano player. But he's still playing. How come?
Strong union.
Garrison, you're peachy. In fact, I might go so far as to say peachy with sugar on it, but I've got to watch my figure.
Yeah, that's right, Celeste. If you don't watch it, the boys never will.
Love those old friends.
Yeah.
Now, gang, as long as people like Seaman First Class John Galliente keep asking for the better type of music, we've got to keep filling their orders. And there's no better way of doing same than by calling on Cliff and Claude, the Trenier twins, I was in trouble with that, for a sample of their best. Here they are with Sometimes I'm Happy.
Sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you. I never mind in the sky, long as there's moonlight in your eyes. Sometimes I hate you. Sometimes I love you, but when I hate you, is. 'Cause I love you, baby. Better I am so good than I do. See, I'm happy when I'm with you. I love you, but when I hate you, it's 'cause I love you, baby. That's all I am, so much can I do. I'm happy when I'm with you.
I'm calling again.
Say, Celeste, are there any more classical selections on the show tonight?
Well, Command gives its listeners only the best. We're featuring tonight an opera written by the famous composer Garibaldi Moore.
Oh. Oh, that's just Jim Dandy. Can my father play the piccolo part? He practiced his fingering for 18 years, developed a very delicate touch.
Well,
come to think of it, he's not in town. He got a job at the Bureau of Precision Standards.
Really? Doing what?
Healing the holes in Swiss cheese.
Nevertheless, Mr. Petrie, the opera shall go on. I sing the part of the hero, and for the villain, we brought in the neighborhood good humor man.
Good humor man? But Gary, this is the bad-tempered guy who does those nasty parts on the Jack Benny show.
Yeah, yeah, they say he's so awful he tears the wings off of flies.
Go on.
Mister, do you really tear the wings off of flies?
Well, what do you think I'm doing with these pliers in my hands, tightening the nuts on my tutti frutti?
You're Frank Nelson, all right.
Yes, I've heard you on Take It or Leave It.
Oh, then you're familiar with my program, I take it.
Mr. Moore, you take it. I'll leave it.
This boy talks like Phil Baker. All right, Frank, I'll tell you what. You play the part of the villain.
Oh, no. You haven't made me a villain again. Frank Nelson, who helps little ducks up on high curbstones.
Quiet, Frank. Celeste, you, of course, will be my daughter, Nell, and the special choral effects will be under the able direction of our announcer, Mr. Howard Petrie.
Oh, don't I just get the best of everything?
You know, someday he's going to wake up inside the bag on the vacuum cleaner. And now, Maestro Perrier, the music for the opera.
The story of our opera tonight concerns a theme as old as time itself. High on a hilltop, there stands a man, ancient, bent, and weary, his rheumy eyes searching the path from town, hoping to see the beloved form of someone he knew a long time ago. And from his aching heart, there springs a song of recollection.
It's been 20 long years since Manelli went away. I never will forget her till my dying day. She ran away from home with the smooth, stiffy slicker. And Ellie was a peach, and he was a picker. They left before dinner without any food except a goose liver sandwich that she carried in her snood. It was cold that night. It was freezing by a hunky. Colder enough to freeze the ears off a brass monkey. I wish the kid was home again like she was before. Who's that to knock in at my door?
Hello there, Paul.
Well.
Don't you know me anymore? It's your little Nell.
Well, where's that the bacon guy who used to call you honey? Did he send you home when you asked for some money?
He's a slip-tongued devil and he lies with ease. He's got more women than a dog's got fleas. He left me on the night that I was most forlorn. The very same night little Bunky was born.
Is that fair, Bunky?
He was born in New York.
Well, you should have sent him back and kept the stork. You can't stay in this house with that fair child.
Oh, Father, dear Father, you're driving me wild.
Honk-jaw, 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 honk-jaw. Here he comes, folks, the unscrupulous husband who deserted his wife and child. Let's all hiss! Hoity, toity, me proud beauty. Don't you'd lost me, eh, my cutie? Well, now that I've found you, I'll show you no pity. I'm a-taking you with me right back to the city.
Will too.
Ever since you left me, I've been living in the quandary. Had to dry my dishes with my last month's laundry. Been cooking my meals in my derby hat. You're coming back with me, gal, and that's a that.
Will too. Will too.
Wait a minute. You know, this could replace spit in the ocean.
Could not.
Could too.
Could not.
It could too.
Hot job. Hot job.
You to Harvard. Fagin, leave this house. We got no room for Regal Dernal Abum. I'll thank you to return to where you was before and think along your stomach so that I can close the door.
Now listen, partner, hold your tongue. Your body's well built, but the timbers are sprung. You know that I can do you heaps and heaps of harm, because I own the mortgage on the gosh darn farm.
You can have the farm, but don't take Bunky.
I'll take the farm and Bunky by hunky.
Who said Bunky? Fagin, you just a viper. Here I stand pleading in my ragged old diaper. You travel to the city, you travel to the rain. Let me stay home, because I need a change.
Hot dog! Hot dog!
$1 million to be here when that guy flies south for the winter.
Now, who's yet to come in down the road? Sounds like a mule with a heavy load.
Ain't no mule, you gosh darn fool. Can't tell by my badge on the constable. What's he to do? Come not tell.
Oh, well, he ain't done the right by our little Mel.
I did too.
Wait a minute. Dialogue is the kind of thing even does wouldn't do.
It is not.
It is too.
It is not.
It is too.
Hot dog! Hot dog! Hot dog! Hot dog!
Then, Mr. Petrie is available for picnics and weenie roasts. Is that his brain be the first weenie you roast.
Well, on the law, I'll settle this case. I'll wipe that smile off of Fagin's face. You stole her farm and you left his daughter. The fine will be $1.25.
Which goes to show the price of sin. Tomorrow night, we're going to play East Lynn.
Shave that air, go.
Continue to
Metropolitan about you.
Please don't. He already threatened to cancel my policy.
Celeste, there's always something wonderfully distinctive about your singing.
Oh, there is not.
Is too.
Is not.
Is too.
Ha-cha, and let's get on with the show. Now, Celeste, I hear that some really, really terrific letters came in when Command ran its big contest.
Yes. We asked the gang to tell us what the Constitution of the United States means to me.
And one of the most outstanding letters came from Master Sergeant Donald E. Ogletree, who is with the Army Air Force in Okinawa. Frank Nelson, would you read us that letter?
Yeah, I'll try. Except the Holy Scriptures, our Constitution is the most important document in my life. It's a guarantee of the possibility of attaining certain phases of the ideal way of life advocated by the Bible and universally recognized as desirable by free men. It provides access to the paths to justice, knowledge, and freedom of personal action, short of infringement of the rights of others, which are inherent American goals, as opposed to the restrictions of individual action and thought present in countries less liberally governed. The flexibility included in the wise structure of the Constitution and the fact that it is not a document bound to a period or by a set way of thinking makes it invaluable to the American way of life. But for the Constitution and my good fortune in being born under its influence, I might today be unable to seek knowledge, unable to be a neighbor, unable to raise my voice against injustice, selfishness, and fraud, or even to offer suggestions or dare to think of improvements. And were it not for the stout souls who have so strongly defended it, I might today be subject to a dictatorship and tyranny, which would be all the more loathsome in contrast to the freedom and prosperity and personal peace I have enjoyed as fruits of the Constitution. The ideals of the Constitution rest largely in our hearts and hands. As long as we hold to the faith which inspired it, it shall survive.
Thank you, Frank. And congratulations, Donald Ogletree. Well, gang, we filled all the orders there's room for tonight. Besides Howard Hotshaw Petrie, we had visits from the Trinneer twins. Oh, I made it that time. Frank Nelson, Constable Bud Whittem,
Celeste Home, Sweet Home,
and Gary Moore. Gosh, Gary, I still haven't gotten over that opera. That masterpiece really sent me.
True, which raises the question, will we ever get him back?
I'm not worried. Well, gang, this is Celeste saying goodnight.
So long, and lots of luck, guys. Do you hear me?
The program is arranged with the aid of the Hollywood Coordinating Committee. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.